Blog Talk Radio.
To Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into the Word. So if you would, go ahead and get a pencil and paper and take down some notes. So at the end of the ministry, if you have any questions or comments, then you can feel free to make those comments as we grow together in the Lord. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease, so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace. As we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, I want to go and finish. I dig back into the topic of being sharp in the spirit. Because as we enter into the next phase of life, you know, sometimes we bring questions, the questions of our heart, up to the front. And that's okay. God is doesn't want you to be in the dark. He doesn't want you to be in the dark at any time. In fact, in James chapter 1, you can find these words that if you don't know, this is what he tells you to do. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then he goes on in verse 12, continuing with the same thought, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God does not want you to be in the dark. He doesn't even like shadows of dark. He wants to be able to give you the things that are necessary for the next step that you're going to take. But again, he told you to ask in faith. And we're in a season now where more and more questions are released and less motion is being made manifest. See, the way that we know that we trust God is because we walk in his ways. He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. See, his joy does not come because you're standing in a place where you say, I trust the Lord, but you're not moving. He says the greatest joy that he has is that his children walk, have motion in truth. We're supposed to be established in the present truth. So that means that we're going to have to be the place that people come to get answers and then receive motion. I say that just like I hear it. We're supposed to be the place where people come to get answers and to receive motion. Paul said it this way, follow me as I follow Christ. See, it was never supposed to be a do what I say. It was always supposed to be a do as I do. Jesus came and he said, I only do the things that I see my Father do, and you will do greater works than this. See, the execution is where we've kind of maybe dropped the ball, if you will, where we've tried to do things intellectually. And that's not going to be where God is found. I want you to know, beloved, that God is bigger than your mistakes. But when you do nothing, he can't bring things that he wants to bring into your life because you're not moving. God put repentance in there because he expected motion by faith. And sometimes we didn't hear all of the instructions. God says he doesn't want you to be ignorant either. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual things. He doesn't want us in the dark. See? He wants us to be in faith. Faith without works, the Bible tells us again in the book of James, faith without works is dead. Why? Because it's left alone. All right, let's just go there so that you can see this. Okay? I want you to understand, going to chapter 2, that God wants us doing the things. Because if I don't do the things, then I'm lying. Okay? Well, same book. James says us that too. He says that we're the ones that should be in action. When we first were introduced to the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1, it said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. So let's get to that where we have action with the faith that we say we possess. I'm not asking for actions with your words. I'm asking for action with your faith, because a lot of words have been spoken. Let's look at this. Let's look at chapter 2. Verse 14, and watch what he's saying here. He says, what does it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith and has not works, can faith save him? Or if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of them say unto you, and you say unto them, depart in peace. You listen at it. You say unto them, depart in peace. You say unto them, be warned. You say unto them, be filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not the things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so, understand this, know for a certainty that faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Why? Because it is alone. Did you get that? See, faith, words without actions are alone, or words without actions do not connect with God. See? We're going to have to get past the things of just thinking a thing, but not doing anything with the words that were spoken to our heart. Again, I'm not just interested in words that were spoken by your mouth. Because if your heart is deceived, then the words that come out of your mouth are going to be words of deception. Okay? But if I have the proper intent, then I will be able to execute, because I expect my words to bring and present action. Even so, faith, if it does not have works, is dead because it is alone. Yea, if a man say that thou hast faith and I have works, then show me your faith without works. And then I'll show you my faith with or by my works. Thou believest there is one God? He said, you do well. The devils also do this. They believe that there is one God, and they tremble. But I want you to know, O vain man, notice what he called you. If you are saying a thing but not doing it, he calls that vanity, empty. That's what the word vain means. He says, not only is faith without works alone, he says again, the second time, faith without works is dead. Then he brings up the point of Abraham, who is our father, of the faith that we participate in. He said he was justified by works when he had offered his son Isaac. He had already done the thing. I mean, you go back and look at that, and Isaac asked the question. He asked his dad, we're going to worship. Dad, we don't have a sacrifice, Dad. And Abraham said, God will provide a sacrifice. He just put God on the line for the sacrifice, but he didn't know what it would be. He was still under the position of heart that it's not going to be me disobeying, it's going to be me doing. See, I'm not just going to say I love God and then don't do it, even though I don't understand it. I might not even like it, but I'm going to be found doing. And then he says, listen at what happened. When he offered his son Isaac, verse 21, upon the altar, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. Come on, y'all. It says that faith is looking for corresponding actions. And when faith has corresponding actions, he says, then this system, because of the works, faith is then made perfect, mature, complete. And the scripture was fulfilled. Notice, this was not even where I was going, but you can just see this. It says that the faith is made perfect. The scripture that you say you believe is now fulfilled. If I don't have corresponding actions, then the scripture cannot be fulfilled. He didn't say the scripture could not be heard. He said the scripture could not be fulfilled. So then I'm asking you, as we go through the next year, are you going to just let scripture be spewing out of your mouth but not give it an opportunity to be fulfilled? And then saying that you're waiting on the Lord but not doing anything with the faith that you want to release. And the scripture was fulfilled, and the scripture said one thing. Come on, y'all. The scripture said that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and because of that, he was called the friend of God. So did you see that the works are the things that cause you to be considered from a different perspective? Because Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him. It was given as a testimony that he believed because he did. Not, you don't get the test. If you don't pass the test, you don't get the money. You don't have manifestation. If you don't pass the test, you don't get the manifestation. And the first part of the manifestation was that he was known as a friend of God. He was one that was in covenant relationship with God. If we can understand that. See, he was not a fair weather friend. He was a friend that was committed to doing what God said, even if he looked bad. That's what Psalms 15 says. The servant of the Lord swears to his own hurt and changes not. See? This is how we're supposed to be identified in this season, in this time. Not verbal Christians only. They were disciples prior to being called Christians. It might have been better if they were never called Christians. I don't know that God called them Christians. Jesus called them his disciples. People called them Christians. They were first called Christians in Antioch. That wasn't, if you would, that wasn't a God word. That was a people word. Because the word disciple means disciplined by. Mm-hmm. See, come on, y'all, come on. Disciplined by is different than being called by. When you are disciplined by, you have the entrance of becoming a son. Mm-hmm. See, if I'm a friend, I might give up on the responsibility that I've been called to. But a son is going to be disciplined. You learn obedience through the things that you suffer. A friend doesn't necessarily want to suffer. Hello? Someone that's not in, let me say it better, an acquaintance might not want to suffer. A covenant friend doesn't have a problem sacrificing. It's part of the deal. Amen. The covenant relationships require that I take everything that I have and I bless you, and then you take everything that you have and you bless me. This is the way the covenant was instituted in Abraham's thinking and in his heart. God and he walked through the sacrifice of the bull. They walked back and forth. And God would say things like, I'll be your enemies. I'll be your friend. I'll be a friend to you and to the ones that you are a friend to. And I'll be an enemy to the ones that you are an enemy to. Your enemies become my enemies. See, those were the covenant words that were spoken in that exchange of friendship that Abraham entered into. So there was no way Abraham was going to withhold from his friend, from his covenant partner, the thing that was necessary to prove that we are in this covenant. I mean, it said about Abraham when he was going up. I mean, if you could just hear this thing, oh, my God, I guess we're just going to have to go over there and see it. It's so much. Genesis 22. See, we can see the cutting of the covenant and the things that were done so that Abraham had this in his consciousness. See? Look at some of these things that happened. Verse 1, and it came to pass, and again, we know God does not, we just saw God does not tempt any man with evil. He did prove Abraham so that Abraham would know what was in his heart. He gave Abraham the opportunity to see, the same way he gives us the opportunity to see. It's not a test with evil. Okay? God deals with the intent, not the event. Oh, I say that again. That was just good. God deals with the intent, not with the event. Oh, somebody write that down. Wow, that was good. Fresh off the press there. And we keep thinking that God is dealing with the event. No, he's looking at the intent. And it came to pass that after these things, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and then Abraham said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get to the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham, I mean, look at this man. Come on, look at this man. The request was to do this because covenant is understood by Abraham. Look at what he did. He rose early. Come on, y'all. I guarantee you, half of us would have had 5 or 6 hours of argument right there. But it said he rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he craved the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went into the place that God had told him. And on the third day, wait a minute, y'all, come on. The man got up early and left, and it took 3 days for him to get there. Can you imagine the thought process that we would go through if God told us to do something and we weren't able to do it for 3 days, but we had to go thinking, I must do this. Not one day, not 2 days, 3 days. I mean, can you just see how these things are being developed in his heart? Watch what he said. Watch what he did now. And Abraham, on the third day, lifted up his eyes and saw the place. Wait a minute. I mean, look at this, y'all. I hadn't seen all this stuff I'm showing you right now because it's just there to be seen. But he say, on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and he still saw the place from a distance. You had opportunity. Mm-hmm. It said that in the book of Hebrews that the children of Israel, if they had been looking at the place that they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. See, he's trying to give us through this exercise that we're looking at, he's trying to get our spirit to walk through these same channels so that there is no option, there is no plan B. After the first day, he could have turned around. After hearing the instructions, he could have ignored. Then he could have turned around for 3 days. Then after getting there and seeing the place, he still had to go afar to get there. All kind of opportunities for you to give up, cave in, and quit. But Abraham, who is the friend of God, didn't do that. As we go through the next portion of whatever's in our life, are we going to give up on God? Are we going to quit on the promise that he made to us, that he would never leave us or forsake us? That because the Lord is on our side, we will not fear what man can do unto us? And then after he saw it afar off, verse 5 says, and Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and hear him now and come again to you. See, the Bible says in Hebrews that Abraham, I think it's chapter 11, that he had already received his son Isaac being raised from the dead in a vision.
So he wasn't going to kill the son. He was going to allow God to fulfill the vision that he gave him, to complete the picture that was in his heart. He said he had already received his son being raised from the dead. I and the lad will go and we will worship and we will come again to you. These are the things that God is asking for us to display in this time what we live in. Are we just going to keep on saying, I don't know what God is doing? What would be more important is for you to find out what God is saying. Because the vision was a conversation that God was having with Abraham. And Abraham paid more attention to what God had said than what was being done. God is the God of the intent, not the event. And Abraham, verse 6, took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon it. Come on, y'all, look at the faith that even Isaac had to walk in. He put the wood for the sacrifice upon the sacrifice. Glory to God. He made him carry his own wood. And you talking about a little discomfort in your life. So God's looking for the intent. And we're trying to make sure that we have the right event. I mean, we've got to get to the place where we understand these things. See? He's wanting us to get to further than. See, if I can allow the intent of my heart to guide me, my events will change. Oh, God, please, no. This is getting gooder and gooder. If I will allow my intent to guide my heart, my events will change quicker and quicker. I will go into one of those and suddenly moments. See? Because I'm not trying to be motivated by events. I'm allowing God to see my intent. Whew. Glory to God. And laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took fire in his hand and a knife that they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke and asked his father, said, Father, Dad. And he said, here I am. He said, I behold the fire. I see that. I got the wood. I know that. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And that was enough for Isaac to go on and move. Come on, y'all. We're asking the question of your heart. Are you willing to continue in the thing that God told you to do, in the instruction that you have, allowing him to see your intent to fully follow after God? Even though you don't understand, even though you don't like it. See, here's the question that was asked in Elijah's day. He said, how long will you be stopped, halt between two opinions? And a lot of times in our life, in our walk, we are halt between two opinions because we don't particularly like what God said. We don't particularly like what we see. And so we stop at that point as opposed to saying, no, God, you said all things will work together for my good. You said that you would perfect that which concerns me. I'm just going to let you do it, Lord. See, that's a man that was fully persuaded. He had already, it said, received Isaac being raised from the dead. He had already received that. I'm no longer, okay, see again, we say these things and we're not understanding God. We say things like, you know, God wants you to just live by faith without knowing. No, he wants you to hear his word, receive his word, and then what he promised you will have. He had received his son being raised from the dead. Amen. How powerful is that? This whole experience gave us a type of what was going to happen with Jesus. because he had Abraham put him on the line because of believing. He said, Abraham said to his son, God will provide himself a lamb. Amen. This is a prophetic word that came out of a living word in Abraham's heart. That's what he's looking for every day in our life, so that the situations, we can stop talking about the situation and talk about our God. We've got to do that. We've got to allow God to do what he said, what he promised, what is alive on the inside of us. A lot of times we do what Hebrews said in chapter 2. We let the promise slip. See? We're going to have to be fervent. We're going through a time that hasn't been seen before in our life. A pandemic that is causing fears and agitating passions to be stirred up. And God wants us to quench those fears and agitating passions by a word that was spoken. By a word, he delivered them. And by a word, he sustained them. By a prophet, he delivered them. And by a prophet, he sustained them. See, when we allow the word to have first place, then the word produces whatever is necessary for us. When you hear the scripture, and my God shall supply all your need by his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, he's warning you to go to the word and get your supply from the word. He wants to bless the intent of your heart. And we are trying to get him to bless the events of our life. So we'll go get a job and ask God to bless the job. Instead of giving God our heart so he can bless the intent of the heart. I mean, you might just want to write that one down, really. God is interested in intent, not events. If we could garner that into our thinking, then again, I said, by the Spirit of God, I understand that if my intent is right, my events will change. Okay? I can come out of the trial, I can have the testimony now. But because my intent has not, my heart has not turned fully unto God, I'm just going to keep going through. I'm going to be just like the children of Israel. When it would have taken them a week to get from Egypt to the promised land, they went 40 years because their intent was messed up. Their heart was not fully trusting in God. They would have days, maybe hours, maybe, that they would trust him. And then they would say, how did he bring us here? We're going to die in the wilderness. We ain't got no food. See, their intent was not proved in the right place by God. Does it not say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? And God is looking for the abundance of your heart to align with his word. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, your conversation will be different. You will ask what you will, and it will be given you. See, my intent now is proven, and I abide in him. I don't interrogate him. What you doing, God? I abide in him. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I don't lean to my own understanding. In all of my ways, I say, the word is directing me. See? And then he will cause my vats to overflow. See? I'll be filled with new wine. Come on, y'all. fresh revelation. Because when I'm operating in fresh revelation, Jesus made this promise. He said, I'm going to build my church upon revelation. So if you would allow me to give you fresh revelation, I will allow you to enjoy the building that I'm making. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. I'm going to allow you to be a part of the building that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Fresh revelation. The devil said this, but I said this. The devil did this, but I said this. I said, oh, glory to God. When he said to Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus came forth because of that which was said. Did make a difference. The events did not matter, beloved. The event was Lazarus was dead and by now stinks. The events didn't matter. He asked, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Did I not tell you that? That he that believeth in me, even if he was dead, he would live. Did I not say that to you? And then he said, because I am the truth, because I am the way, because I am the resurrection, because I am the life, Lazarus, come forth. And events did not stop the manifestation of God's word. He came forth out of the grave, still bound. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. The intent of the heart brought the revelation into manifestation. He'll do it every day, all the time. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what he's asking us to do. He's asking us to be sharp in the spirit. In order to be sharp in the spirit, you're going to have to stop looking around you for the answer. Because the answer, he said, is going to come from out of your heart. And we're still looking for the answer to come from circumstances, from the alignment of things that look good. It didn't look good to Isaac, and it didn't look good to Abraham that what they thought they was going to do, they don't even have everything they need. But Abraham said, no, God will provide himself a lamb. And they came to the place which God told him, and Abraham built there an altar and laid the wood in order and bound his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand to take his knife and slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know, for now you have proved that you will not withhold. Now I know that you fear God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Then comes the blessing. Come on, y'all. You got the test. Here comes the morning. And then the Lord called again the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and did not withhold thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and thy sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to the young men, and they rose up with him to Beersheba. and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Did you get that? He said that because God saw the intent of the heart, he says, now, I've already told you in chapter 18, I told you in chapter 12, that in blessing I will bless you and I will multiply you. Now I can fulfill my word because your intent was not locked up by events. Boy, I hope y'all getting this. He says, I wanted to be. He made that promise to him in chapter 12. And now he said, I've sworn by myself, because you did this, that in blessing, I will bless. And in multiplying, I will multiply. Your seed, the one that you was offering to me. Now, I'm able to get more accomplished because your intent was not motivated by events. Whew. I mean, that was parenthetically. This was not the ministry that was slated, but I mean, you can see that this is what is necessary to be dealt with. Because we're asking and believing God for a multitude of things. But we haven't brought the response of faith into the equation. We brought what we call the confession of faith. Okay, there you write that one down. We brought the confession of faith, but not the response of faith. Abraham was called the friend of God because of the response of faith. So do you want God to do things in this year? Then he's looking for the response of faith from your life. The response of faith in sacrifice. Okay, I'm going to make it plain. I'm just saying what I'm hearing. You want all this stuff from God, but you haven't brought any sacrifice, any display of obedience. All you brought is a confession and a request. I love you, Lord. Bless me. I'll serve you, Lord. Bless me. But there was no response of faith. Did it not say that we're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only? Not just giving, not just participating in communication. Come on, y'all. I hear and I say, but I didn't do. Remember what Jesus said about people that do that? He said, this people, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I got a conversation for them. Depart from me. I never was intimate with you. See, God is wanting to display the power. I mean, just look at what happened. They went up the mountain, up one side of the mountain. And it would be that the ram went up the other side of the mountain, because they don't usually walk together, do they? Amen. But God is working things together for the good of those that love him. If you love him, you would obey him. Come on now. That's what Jesus said. See, my love is not an emotional connection. My love is a faithful sacrifice of response. He's looking for that. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in those that are mature, that have a perfect heart towards him. That it doesn't matter what it costs me. I swear to my own hurt and change not. You're going to see my works. You're going to see the activity of faith because of what I do, God. You're not just going to hear vain words and repetition of things that I think you like to hear. You're going to hear the thing that is good for you to see by my actions, because my actions speak. My faith speaks. My love speaks. Come on, y'all. We say we love God who we don't see, but we don't love our brother who we see. See, love speaks. Amen. See? Peace speaks. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the ones that's going to see God. See? The demonstration of his love, the demonstration of his power, when you have the ability to make peace. It didn't say blessed are the peace finders. He didn't say blessed are the peace communicators. He said blessed are the peace makers. Glory to God. That means in the middle of the offense, you're going to have to go over the fence to make a connection between you, God, and them. Oh, my God, I hope you see these things. Make a connection between you, God, and them. You know what? We are the avenue God is looking for so he can get to them. He said, ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for an inheritance. You are the connection. But here we are taking ourselves, dismissing ourselves from the equation because we don't like them. We can see the love of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His son came into the world. See, there was a connection between Jesus, us, and God. And that same connection is required, you, God, and them. Amen. You're going to have to go ye into the world, make disciples, cause that peace to be understood by them, cause them to become thirsty, cause them to become hungry after righteousness, because you are displaying it by laying down your life. He's looking for a sacrifice. Are you going to withhold your sacrifice? Abraham did not withhold his sacrifice. And because he was willing to give his sacrifice, God says, now in blessing, I will bless. In multiplying, I will multiply. I had to have a seed to be able to multiply. Your obedience is that seed. Your obedience is the voice that he's looking for. All of heaven and earth are recording what we do and what we say. So when I make a statement and I don't do it, Then heaven is going to record that. I was talking to my boss, and he was giving me an understanding that God makes inspections before he gets promotion. He always did it. In Genesis, you see it very clearly. He said, let there be, and then there was an inspection, and God saw and said it was good. Then the next day. Notice we didn't do anything on the day before he said it was good. So God is always making an inspection. So he's offering, giving you an opportunity for an offering. And with that offering, do you not know Cain and Abel? Come on. God looks at the offering. The widow woman that gave the two mites, God looks at the offering. Amen. When he inspects the offering, the intent of the heart. See, he's looking for intent, not events. And we keep trying to tell him, Lord, I did this in your name. No, 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 no. He was looking for intent, not for events. When we grasp that and understand that, then we'll stop trying to pimp God, because I'll just give you all, Lord. I don't have to worry about your return, because you inspect what I do. You're always looking at the intent of my heart. See, that's the place of the offering for today, the intent of the heart. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 11. See, we're going to have to be interested in our response, and our response is going to be given by our faith. That speaks our love, that speaks our righteousness, that speaks our joy, that speaks. Come on, y'all. You can't give an offering mad. Okay. You can't give an offering that's going to be approved of God mad. Don't you remember he told us? He says, when you offer your gift, and if you know that your brother has ought against you, Go back and get it right with your brother and then offer your gift. You can't give a gift and being mad at your brother. I mean, these are just things. These are biblical principles that Jesus delineated to us, but we haven't engaged in them. We'll go on our side the church and be mad at the people on that side the church. I grew up in that. I saw that day in, day out. You come to the house of God, but you're not going to come for change. You're going to come for show, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Because the power thereof would affect change in you, wouldn't it? Amen. God wants to bless you. But you came, brought your gift, was already mad, and left without getting that right. I'll even go further. Glory to God. You came to church mad at the man that was giving you the message. Hallelujah. Judging the man that's giving you the message. Amen. He didn't have to be perfect. Here's the question. If the Bible asks us, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. So then the man you mad at calls up. He didn't look at you right. He didn't speak to you. He didn't call you when you was going through. Amen. Experience, 35 years of ministry has showed me that. Do you think God would write in the Bible if you trying to give your gift and you have aught against any that he can't? Well, with even your prayer, forget your gift. You can't even pray. He wouldn't have wrote that if that was not happening in the earth, would he? Amen. He didn't write that so that you can be religious about it. He wrote it so that he can then bless because you get that fixed. He told us not to let the sun go down on our wrath. There are people that have had out for years. How many sunrises and sunsets is that? And God is wanting to display his love through us, the body of Christ. And we sit up here mad at this one or that one. That's in the same body. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there is the commanded blessing, even life forevermore. But we don't hear that. We'd rather hold on to our ought. Because they said this. Because they did this. And then we wonder, how is it that God's not moving? Because you're not moving. You are stuck in the same. How long will you be halt between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If anger is God, serve him. Come on, y'all. If unforgiveness, come on. We don't get it. We weren't called to that. But we function in it. I didn't say we live in it. I'd say we function in it. We throw away the best that God has to give to us and find a way to be as comfortable as possible in that which is a lacking experience. Didn't Jesus say, I've come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly, and yet we live in a lacking experience? Wow. We don't live in a lacking life. We live in a lacking experience. Jesus came that we might have life. But we're still holding our intent hostage by the events. They said they did. Those are events. My intent is to forgive if I have aught against any. My intent is to do that quickly. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are with him in the way. Not after he repents, while I'm with him in the way. See, we should stop making demands of other people and then take those same demands to God and say, do something, God. He says, I can't. You tied my hands. Abraham made an offering, a willing offering, and then after the willing offering, God says, I know the intent of your heart, and now in blessing I will bless, in multiplying I will multiply. I will cause abundance to be in your life. Blessing would be a good thing. My God, he gave him more than enough. I will bless in blessing, and I will multiply in multiplying. Glory to God. That's the same way when we hear it in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Peace by itself would have been good enough, but he's going to take grace and multiply it by peace. Hallelujah. How glorious is that? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Not the knowledge of events. Come on, y'all. Not the knowledge of hurt. Let that go. Allow my intent to be seen by God. Why? Because that's what he's looking at. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 and following. It says, let us, who? Us, we ends. Let us labor to enter into this rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. And he was talking about what happened to the children, that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God made a promise, but you don't enter into the promise because you don't believe that forgiveness is required. If you don't believe that forgiveness is required, let me help you out. That is unbelief. As you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Because if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. He cannot hear your prayers. I don't believe that's necessary. That is unbelief. You won't enter in. You tie his hands. Why should I not do this? Because I will fall, he said. Come on, y'all. If I don't labor to enter into this position of peace, being a peacemaker, being obedient to the word that I've heard, executing what he's commanded me to do, I don't try to get them to execute what he commanded me to do. Come on, do you see a problem there? Amen. If I'm going to execute what he commanded me to do, then my love has to cover their multitude of sin. Not one sin, it said multitude. Amen. While Jesus was still on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't wait for the blood to stop and the pain to cease. While he was still bleeding, while he was still in pain, he said, Father, forgive them. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, we're waiting for them to do the right thing, and then maybe I'll forgive. See, the intent of your heart has already been exposed to God. He's looking at the intent, not the event. Lest we fall after the same manner of a same example of unbelief. You know, it's very difficult to get to your destination if you're going to continue to trip and fall. It's just very difficult to walk in a fallen state. Come on, y'all. It's hard to walk and get any traction when you're not standing upright. You can't walk in a fallen position. That's why he tells us not to lean, because if you're going to lean, it's inevitable that a fall is going to happen. The lean always precedes the fall. And the fall stops you from entering in. And now you're going to judge God and the people, because you're going to say, you promised God, no, you're not laboring to enter in. You're not laboring to enter in. According to this now, just looking at it, if you were laboring to enter in, you would be not laboring to get something. A person that's laboring to do this is not doing that. If I'm demanding, I'm not laboring to enter in. I'm too busy demanding. Come on, y'all. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for you to get the picture and enter in. I've got to let go of the things that have already happened. Events were sent there by the enemy to hold you up. Forgetting those things that are events behind. Forgetting them. Let us press forward. I can't press forward. Please help me. Do you see a way for you to press forward looking back? I mean, you're making things difficult for yourself. He said, press forward, and here we are looking back. We're looking at events, and God is trying to get us to understand intent. Lest we fall after the same example of unbelief 40 years later, still in the same place. Same example of unbelief. Going into the next calendar year with the same issues that you had in the previous calendar year. Because you have fallen after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12, trying to get here. I've been trying, been aiming at this for the last 40 minutes. Wow, for the last hour. For the word of God is alive, quick, that's what it means, and powerful. And I love this. He delineated each one of them. The word of God is alive. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God pierces even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word of God divides the joints and the marrow. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God sent his word so that you can separate intents from events. I didn't just make it up. There it is. The word of God is doing that. It's powerful for these reasons. It's sharp for these reasons. It also, watch it, not only does it cut, because he said a two-edged sword, it also pierces. And it pierces even unto. Do you get that? The word of God pierces until there is a division between the soul and the spirit. Because his people have spent more time living in the soul, living in the flesh, than living in the spirit. So they go back to the thing that they are comfortable with. And he says, what I need to do is to get you to see, in order to get the flow of blessing, you're going to have to separate yourself from the soul and live in the spirit. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you walk in the spirit. That you will not then fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Trying to get us to get to the place where we separate the thing that has been slowing us down, stalling us out, causing us to fall. The word of God was sent to do that, has the ability, has the power, has the sharpness to do that, and will pierce even to the point where it starts dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the things that are strengthened by the marrow. Come on, y'all. He wants to separate your connection to a thing. Wow. Your connection to the thing from the life of the thing. The marrow is where the life is found. And he wants to separate your connection joints from the place where the life has been found. Glory to God. The reason that we keep falling is because we keep getting life out of a dead, giving life to a dead situation. And God wants to use his word so he can separate the connection that you had with the thing and the life you keep giving to the dead thing. Well, I hope you heard this. I hope you hear this. I mean, your next phase of life should be 100 times better. See? Because he's giving you, he's wanting to sow into the fields of faith, love, peace, righteousness, joy that the Holy Ghost brings. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. The kingdom of God is righteousness that is in the Holy Ghost. Peace that is in the Holy Ghost. Joy that is in the Holy Ghost. Because sometimes we can think that my self-righteousness is where I'm supposed to live. That's my kingdom. No, he said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, if I'm not connected to the Holy Ghost, that's not the righteousness I should be living in. That's not the righteousness I should be looking for. That's not the peace I should be looking for. The kingdom of God and the righteousness that I should be looking for is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So we're going to have to stop living in the flesh, resorting to the flesh, and thinking that my answers are going to come because of the flesh. If you get a pound of flesh, let me just help you out so that you know what you get. All you're going to get when you get your pound of flesh is flesh. Because if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. So here you are with your pound of flesh, and all you can look forward to is corruption. Flesh will not produce spirit. Flesh will not produce victory. Flesh will always release corruption. Okay? Corruption and destruction are two different things. Can continue until destruction is made manifest. A thing can be going bad for a long time, and then destruction kicks in. He said, when you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Being stuck in a thing without the ability to get out. Remember in the book of James, he said, don't be deceived about these kind of things. Don't err, my beloved brethren. Every man is drawn away of his own lust. And lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Did you hear? Sin is just playing with you. He said, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And then sin, when it is finished. You don't even have nothing to do about when it is finished. When it is repented of, it is removed. But if it's still active, you have to wait for it to be finished. I done said a mouthful right there, y'all. When lust is conceived, you're not in control. Every man is drawn away of his own lust. And lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Corruption leads to destruction. Because you are stuck in events, and God was trying to get you to understand intent will cause this cycle to stop. If you don't, then you're going to go through the process of lust bringing forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's the way it works. See, we keep thinking that, you know, well, I'm doing to them what they did to me, all right? That puts you in the flesh, and of the flesh, corruption is going to get the process started. You don't notice rust right off. The water that is left there causes corrosion. And corrosion leads to the breaking down of the protection of the metal. then the protection being broken down is now going to give way to the rust. And then when the rust is finished, nothing works. You're stuck. Rust has the ability to cause things to be frozen. Amen. That's why he wants you to live by the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost brings anointing or oil, which operates as a preservant so that the corruption does not take place. That fluidity happens all the time. That I can go from day to morning and make sure that forgiveness has taken place, that repentance has taken place, that release has happened. I don't get frozen or stuck in a situation. Stuck so bad in a situation. My supervisor did something that I didn't like, and so then I began to judge, and I began to do things that I shouldn't do. And I would take this home with me every night. And it got so bad that I began to dream that I would kill my boss. Yeah, just let me be saved. I made it. I got out of it. leave me alone. God worked with me. And this happened for a little while. I was very upset. I was frozen, stuck. So then notice that the process gets worse. It says lust brings forth sin. Sin brings forth death when it's finished. So then I was dreaming that I would kill him every night. It went from once in a while to every night. And then it got worse. It got to the point where I would dream that I would go to the funeral and kill him, shoot him in the funeral, at the funeral. Now, I mean, you got to be a sick puppy to think of that. Here I am. Let me give you the rest of the story. Here I am laying in the bed with my wife, dreaming about another man. Something wrong with that picture by his doggone self. Things in my life had stalled out and was consuming me till I could not even function. And when I saw that one, I said, okay, this don't make no doggone sense. I got to let him go. Period. It don't matter what he did. It don't matter because I can't do nothing because of what he did. I'm stuck in events. And God's trying to show me that my life happens out of the intent of the heart. I was stuck. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent right quick. I let that go. This is not vengeance. It's not mine. Vengeance is, Lord, you going to repay. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I am not in that equation at all. I am out of the revenge business. I am now in the forgive business. And I let it go. It wasn't a month later that he was no longer working for the company, working for the church. Because I was saying, surely he as an associate pastor, he can't do that. He know he's doing wrong. That's not my job. My job is not to evaluate him. He doesn't owe me anything. Before God, he's supposed to stand, not before me. I'm not the inspector. God is the inspector. Here's the proof of that. Watch, let's read again. For the word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It will cause the joints and the marrow to be separated. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. So my boss was not my problem, because every creature is manifest in his sight. I said, you know what, God? You got this. I ain't got this. I'm not going to try to fix this. I'm not going to try to work with this. My pay grade is not there. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things. How many things? All things are naked and open. Okay, wait a minute. See, when I trap myself by an event, I am blinded by that event. I'm not dealing with the thing being naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Did you see that? My future has now been shaded, shrouded in an event. So if my future is shrouded in an event, my destiny cannot happen, can it? See, I mean, it's just real. We are becoming our own worst enemy. And the devil just says, well, I'm so glad I got them looking at stuff that they ain't got no business paying attention to. Love is supposed to cover that. If the thing is covered, I can't see it, can I? If I'm obedient to God and my love covers that, I won't see that. Now I'll see God, because those that are peacemakers, they get to look at another view. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're going to be called the children of God. I get to enter into a kingdom that I was prepared for and that was prepared for me. Instead of being locked out in a kingdom I was not even invited to. Glory to God. When I'm in darkness, I was not invited there. I am a robber. I am a thief. Why do you say that? Because he said, owe no man anything but to love him. I owe every man that. When I don't give a man what I owe him, that makes me a thief and a robber. I owe him that. See, my love is the payment. My love should be the payment that's necessary for my life to be lived. My faith works by love. But if I haven't made the payment, my faith doesn't work. I'm a thief and a robber. And no thief shall have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So righteousness, peace, and joy, gone. Only one happy is the devil. Because he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I am assisting the devil rather than resisting the devil. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Seeing then, I love that. That puts my sight in another place. He said, seeing then. After I've done these things by allowing the word to divide, now I can see. Come on. I can't see until I do that. My seeing is active, not past tense. If I don't allow the word that is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, if I'm still functioning in the soul, which can be darkened, my understanding can be darkened. That understanding can be, first of all, in my soul. Because my spirit man willfully delights after the law of God. So my spirit man is not in darkness. My spirit man has been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. But since my soul only knows the darkness that I've lived in, I go back to the darkness. So I can't see now, can I? Because the seeing then only takes place if the word of God has separated my soul and spirit. The discerning of my heart and the intents of that heart. Now I can see. Now I can listen to my high priest that is in a highly elevated position, passed unto the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our conversation and profession. For we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. See, we act like Jesus don't know what's going on. See, it's right here. He was touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Why do I act like he wasn't? Because I'm too busy living by the event rather than my intent. Let us hold fast our profession. For we don't have we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted to do the same thing you already do it, but he did go through it without sin. And he says, consider him. He's your high priest. He's the high priest of your confession. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. He makes intercession for us. Why? Because he wants us to come to the place where he is. As I am, so is he in the world. That's what he said. As we are, so is he in the world. So then because of that, let us move. Did he say, let us come? He wants us to move in this, doesn't he? Here we are, stuck in dead trespasses and sin. And he says, please come, move. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Once you can see, then you recognize it's not about what they did, what they didn't do, what they said. It's about what he promised. See, I want to know what God is saying. I'm not interested in trying to figure out what he's doing because he's always doing what he said. He will not alter the thing that has come out of his mouth. God is not a man that he should lie. Has he said it, shall he not bring it to pass? Has he spoken it, shall he not make it good? His word will not return to him void, but it will prosper in the thing where he sent it. It will accomplish that which he pleases. I'm more interested in what he said, because what he said is what he's doing. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. See? I want to know what he said, because whatever he said, that's what he's doing. He's not going to separate himself. These three agree as one. The Father, the Word, the Spirit. These three agree as one. So whatever is happening, whatever action is going on, it is because the Father has spoken. This is why I come boldly, so that I can obtain the mercy, find the grace that's there to help in the time of need. I don't need to find the events that lines my heart up with whether or not God loves me. I need to align myself with the promise that said he will never leave me nor forsake me. He will not fail me. That's the promise. I renew my mind with the promise of God. Did the events of my life change by the promise? See, I don't try to get the events of my life changed by my desire. I get the events of my life to change by his word. When I walk in the word, I walk in promise. God wants to sow into these fields because these are the fields that he continues to water. Faith, love, peace, righteousness, joy, truth. He waters those. Why? So that because they always absorb. They listen for. Take heed to. Love always is listening for the response of faith. Faith is always listening for the admonition of peace. Righteousness is always looking for the experience of joy. Truth is always going to be established where there is righteousness, truth, and joy, because the kingdom is based on truth. There will be no end to his kingdom and of his truth. Of his peace, of his righteousness. No end to that. The fields that he wants to sow in is not fields where there is pain and anguish and unforgiveness. He doesn't want to sow into that. He wants to sow where he can continue to water and nourish Because what he waters and nourishes, that thing will flourish. That thing will provide. That thing will give increase and expand. Then he say, now in blessing I will bless, in multiplying I will multiply. He's looking for the ability to expand. When we give him an offering that has the right intent, he can expand now. We've entered into the year of 5781. And those that's the numeric value of the year, 2021. The numeric value, the Hebraic numeric value of the year is the year 5781. The number 5 is representative of what happens with the eye, to behold. That's what he said. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Grace is the number, 5 is the number of grace. He was full of grace and truth. And then the next thing he says, and we beheld. It's got to do with the eye. And then the number 7 is the ability to plow, or the work that you would be doing. So I should look unto Jesus so I can work. When I look unto the author and finisher, the things that I need to get done can get done. He's the author and finisher. 5-7, that's the place where I work, the place where I plow. I should not be plowing in my field of anger. I should not be plowing in that field. I should not be plowing in the field of hurt. I should be plowing in the field of potential, the field of promise. The number 8 is the word fence is what comes into mind. Plow where I have protection. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in. That's where we should plow. Because I can't take I cannot take sin into that place. Amen. I cannot take unforgiveness into that place, because that's the place I'm protected. I don't take my enemy into the place where I want to be protected, do I? That's just as stupid as trying to take someone I'm mad at into the place of prayer. My place of prayer is a place of intimacy. What am I doing saying, God, get them. God, they hurt me. That's not the place of intimacy. I can confess that out. And then when I go to prayer, my prayer can be a perfect before him. I'm not just complaining before him. I've entered into intercession for them. That's what Jesus does. He ever liveth to make intercession. He does not live to make complaint about all the stupid stuff his body is doing. He lives to make intercession. Follow me as I follow Christ. Behold, 5. Plow, 7. Fence, the place of protection. And the 1 is for the strength, or for the ox. And this year happens to be a year that the 2 numbers come together at the end, and the 1. This is 2021 and 5781. So we have agreement in the 1, agreement in the unity. That's your will being done on earth, 1, as it is in heaven, 1. Glory to God. So heaven is reaching down for the agreement that I release in the earth. When I say, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. Agreement from heaven to earth. Things can get done. We're trying to find out what God is doing, and I'd rather find out what God is saying. Because as he talks, his word has the power to bring to pass what I need in my life. See? So I don't get anything else. Get the understanding that we must stop living by events and begin to live by intent. My intent makes sure my future. My events lock me into my past. I hope you heard that. Amen. The intent of my heart opens up my future. Events lock me into my past. I don't need to sing another They Done Me Wrong song. Amen. If I live by the intent that God wants in my heart, he promised he will wipe away, not some, every tear from my eye. I get to allow God to be the God that he wants to be in my life because my expectation is in him. My hope is in him. I don't bring events to my God because of frustration. I bring expectation to my God through my obedience because my obedience speaks. My faith speaks. My joy speaks. My love speaks. My peace speaks. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. He's looking for the sacrifice of praise, the offering that you would give to him with the right intent of heart so that he can bless and multiply. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we praise you. We thank you for a word that gets us out of jail, gets us out of bondage, and puts us into the place of expectation for the good that you want to wrought in our life. You want to work in us. Thank you, Father, that as you work, life now happens at a higher degree. Experiences now change from bad to good. Instead of the thorns will come up the fir tree and the myrtle tree. Thank you, Father, that we can allow you to do what you only can do as we give up things that have locked us up, as we have our motion in you, because in you we live and in you we breathe and in you we have our very being. Thank you, Father, for causing a word that makes us free, for you sent a word to deliver us from all of our fears, from all of our destructions, to give us the life that's necessary, that pleases you in faith. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor, committing it to you as done in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who's Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, again, if you have any comments or any questions, we'll give you the opportunity now to bring those out, and it's just a good thing to see how God is moving. So area code 0933. You have the mic. Any questions or comments?
How can I hear this message again?
You can go to Blog Talk Radio, and you can look it up, or go to livedeliverance.com and just look for my name, Pastor Steve Lee, and you'll see all of the ministries that have been there, and you can just listen till right, take your notes, write it down. We live by this. So, you know, we record it as soon as you get off the air. In about 5 minutes, it should be downloaded and available for your listening pleasure.
Okay, this was an awesome message.
We serve an awesome God. Thank you. Yes. And I promise you, I hear it almost at the same time you hear it. I do my preparation, but when it comes out, it comes out fresh. So that's just what it was. So, amen. Thank you for being a part of the ministry today. Amen. Any other comments? Any questions? All right. And we thank everyone for being on the ministry tonight. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, just go ahead and be obedient and do that. Because as you do that, the blessing that God wants to begin to flow into your life will begin to happen as we join. We've given unto you the spiritual things you should give of your carnal things so that God can then acknowledge your receiving of a word Because if you give as you receive, then God will cause good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to happen. So this is good soil for you to sow into so that God can do the things that only God can do. So until the next time that we come together here, which will be next Monday at 9 o'clock, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Until the next time, shalom.